Okay, hospitality in this series of A Life Well Lived is, it's a great topic because most of us like to eat, nearly everybody likes to eat, and even better to eat food that somebody else has cooked or to be made welcome in somebody else's house. So it's a win-win situation because you usually get good conversation and all sorts of blessings. So we're going to talk about what hospitality means and so on. Now, Paul the Apostle, in Romans 12:13, basically puts it fairly straightforwardly. Practice hospitality. There's not a lot to go there, is there? Practice hospitality. It doesn't say if, but maybe, whatever. So the Living Bible puts it, and get into the habit, practice, inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. And the Oxford English Dictionary that I consulted says that hospitality is, and being hospitable is giving or disposed to give welcome and entertainment to strangers or guests and giving them a friendly and liberal reception. And we might say that is making people feel at home. So what I want to do today, I've got roughly four parts of this talk. And look at the deeper meaning of sharing a meal, particularly in ancient times. I want to look at the verse in Hebrews that says some people have entertained angels unawares and what that might have meant. And then practically, what does that mean for us today? And finally, looking at God's hospitality for us. So getting back to in ancient times, and even in some societies today, less sophisticated than ours, hospitality can be life-saving. If you're in a situation where there is no other place of paid accommodation or meals available, particularly in desert places like where the Bible was written, and there are lots of stories in the Old Testament, lots of verses in the Old Testament about where the Israelite nation were told by God to look after the alien and the stranger. And indeed, in ancient societies, to break bread together was almost a sacred bond. And there are many stories in sagas and so on where the breaking of that, the betrayal of somebody with whom you had broken bread is the worst kind of betrayal. And it shows how seriously this betrayal of this trust was regarded. And we get this in Psalm 41, when David said, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, who shared my bread with me, has turned against me." A lot of the versions say, "has lifted up his heel against me." It's the worst thing that you could do. And we in fact see this special sense of sharing in the Jesus and his disciples in the Last Supper, where they broke bread together, and what happened when Judas dipped the bread into the cup, I think. So there's a great quote that a friend of mine quoted on Facebook. Just, and some people here know what I think about the word just sharing a meal speaks powerfully of welcome, togetherness, equality, and the value of everyone's contribution. The meal adds a richness to being together that's hard to replicate any other way. That's a photo from years ago, quite a few years ago now, of my home group at the time. We used to share a meal every week. We all brought different things to contribute, usually slightly arranged. We are still, I could have shown you quite a few photos of that home group, and we are still, lots of us, in contact. And in fact, I visited three people in that group overseas this year. It certainly was a great bond, eating together and sharing, getting together every week. And in the early church, they did the same. It says in Acts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. So people, obviously, who had the homes that were big enough, people opened them to their fellow Christians. And bear in mind, This is after 3,000 people have been baptised, so there's quite a lot of people floating around ready to be sharing bread together. And I wonder if we're back to Sean's talk on money a couple of weeks ago, where he said it's actually God's money, we'll have to give an account of it, and we can do eternal things of eternal value with our money. And it's the same with our homes and our food. They're actually God's if we're Christians. And we're stewards of them. So it's not like an Englishman's home is his castle and you can bring up the drawbridge. They're actually God's homes and God's food that he's providing for us. We will give an account of what we have been given, and these things can result in an eternal value being achieved through them, through all sorts of things like conversations, prayer together, and help given to people through being in our homes. So, going to the next bit. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it." And these are the frontispieces, title pages of the first two guest book that we had. And you can see how idealistic and 1973-ish I was on the left-hand side. One, you know, beautiful little flowery decorations a la 1973/4, and practicing my calligraphy, Thomas. I was going fairly basic there, but and the next one, obviously, I'd given up doing all that kind of stuff. Just put guests, put the verses, put the edge, you know. And I think the third book, I've now got a third one that's nearly finished as well, and that hasn't got any front page at all. It just starts off with the people who were at the house that day. And that's because I'm a record keeper and I like seeing. And I was glancing through that early one yesterday, just after I was scanning that page, and I thought, I don't even remember some of these people. I went, who the whatever was this person? And I think, you know, a couple of them I put an explanatory note, came to Melbourne for a conference and stuff like this. Anyway, it's interesting. Some people might hopefully meet them in heaven and we'll, you know, be able to share again. So, angels unawares. When have people entertained angels unawares? I also interpret that as being incidents where hospitality has made a huge difference, has altered, in some cases, the course of history. And so I've just picked five examples from the Bible. One is where Abraham entertained visitors who turned out to be angels, and they were messengers from God, Genesis 18, who told him that he, although he was very elderly and his wife also, that he would have a son who would be the father of many nations and so on. Another one is Rahab in the book of Joshua, who sheltered the spies who were checking out the promised land and let them down the wall and into safety and so on. Now, I think she might have been called a prostitute. She was protected because of doing that act, and in fact she's listed in the ancestors of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. So another time when somebody being willing to shelter somebody and give hospitality altered the course of history. And then we've got Abigail. This is around about where the area where she lived. 1 Samuel 25, against her husband's wishes, commands, gave hospitality to David and his band of guerrillas and averted the revenge killing that they were thinking of, and eventually she became one of David's wives. So she also changed a lot of things for lots of people at that point. And then coming to the New Testament, got the example of Mary and Martha and their home in Bethany, which was always open to the Lord. And there are several stories set in that home, and because of his friendship with them, their brother Lazarus was raised from the dead. There's all sorts of ramifications from their generous hospitality. And then we have the upper room in Acts, in the very early church, Mary, the mother of John Mark, who must have been quite well off, and the events of Pentecost and many other events took place there. And again, she presumably had the space and the room to have 120 people there, but she was generous with that as well. And then think of all the people who either entertained or must have housed the Lord Jesus, who did not have any place to lay his head. But if you know anything at all about the stories of Jesus, think of all the stories where he was at a meal or in somebody's place. And the other thing is, think about how spectacularly hospitable he was on the occasions when he could be, where he changed the water into wine at the wedding in order to avert a social catastrophe and help his mother's friends, and also the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. That is quite spectacular hospitality, I have to say. It's a miracle, that's great, but it's also great hospitality. And also several times in the New Testament, there is the mention of a church meeting in somebody's house. Again, probably quite well-off people with a decent-sized room. But still, they were opening it for their fellow Christians. Paul asked Philemon, in the book of Philemon, he says, please prepare a guest room for me, clearly expecting that that would happen. And one of the characteristics of elders mentioned twice is that they are to be hospitable. And I'm glad to say our elders are, which is great. Okay, so that brings us to the third point, what about us? Well, I've already said in Romans, Paul says quite unequivocally, practice hospitality. Now, that is as much a generosity of spirit as of actual handing out food or meals or beds or whatever. And it does depend on circumstances. And it also, I think, if you like, varies over our lives. At various times in our lives, we are in better spaces to do that. I would not expect, for instance, that somebody with a small baby is going to be inviting people around every night for a meal. There's all sorts of, if people are single, it's much harder to do. If you're in a bed sit, that might be really challenging to have somebody around or not. So what I've made a sort of a list of possible ways that you could consider being generous and hospitable to people. So one thing might be deliberately having coffee with somebody and paying for that, with the idea of making that a really good conversation and asking how they are. Another one might actually be putting a meal in the freezer out there in the kitchen, labelled either for somebody or for the care team to distribute, or to give the care team a card for Coles or Woolworths that can be given to somebody too. An easy way to do a bit of hospitality is to join in the lunch that Kath and Vera and Jen and everybody have been organising, and Julia at after church on Sundays. It's really easy to just bring something and share with everybody and, again, have some good conversations. Obviously, the obvious way that we think of is having someone or lots of people or a whole family to dinner or a barbecue or lunch. Now, that can be quite daunting and not everybody feels capable of that. So one way to do that is to actually ask somebody else. I'd love to have some people around. I'm not confident I could cook, you know, a meal for six people plus whatever. So could you bring dessert? I'll do the main. And can you help? Okay. When we used to have a kind of a roster years ago, for quite a long time, we had what was called like a hospitality roster. And we actually had people rostered on to be the host, house, and somebody to help. And that was great because you often had somebody who was living in a small flat or something like that, and they would go, yep, I'll bring dessert and drinks, and you knew that you'd have that covered, you could make the main meal, and you could happily invite six or eight people, and you weren't doing all the work yourself, and they could be hospitable by helping like that. And this can also be an outreach to your neighbours, if you've got the neighbours that you're able to invite in, or a home group meeting. Some of the best times have been that home group that I had for several years, that I went to or had at my house for several years. Another way would be to maybe take something to somebody who's shut in, who can't be taken out or would find it difficult to go to somebody's house. And I think of, I'm probably going to embarrass Annette here, but Annette who got decent coffee and would take it to Delos because she knew she liked coffee. She'd get coffee at one of the actual coffee shops, not the place there, and take it to Delos because it wasn't possible really to take, it was very difficult to take Delos out, but that was a lovely thing to do. And also the care, some people from the care group went and took Jean Campbell out for lunch. That kind of thing is also hospitality. And not all of us are in this situation, but it's worth thinking about being prepared to have someone stay the night or a week or to share your house. There's great blessing in that. There's often all sorts of opportunities with visiting missionaries. Sometimes people are just a bit stuck for a while. Definitely, it has its challenges. I have somebody sharing the house at the moment. I left him vacuuming and about to clean the oven, which is a lovely thought. And mind you, it needed doing. And your house does not have to be home beautiful to have people in it. It took me a long time to realise that. I am a person who worries about what people think of me. And I used to think people would think I was some kind of dreadful slob if the place was not absolutely gleaming when they came. So I probably drove my family insane running around telling them everybody's got to tidy up, blah, blah, blah. We've got to have the kitchen floor washed, we've got to vacuum and maybe dust the piano as well, right, while I'm trying to cook as well. So I'm sure for some of my kids it was not a pleasant experience having people to lunch, but I gradually learned, and I remember I learned this through somebody in the Breastfeeding Association who said, if you have people, and particularly young mothers, to morning tea, which we used to go to morning teas in different people's houses, she said, if your house is absolutely gleaming, spotless, beautiful and everything, they will all go home going, oh, wow, I am such a failure. My house doesn't look like this. You're much better. I don't mean have absolute, you know, trash on the floor and the place looks disgusting and you haven't cleaned the toilet. But what I mean is that it doesn't have to be perfect, so long as it's safe, particularly with toddlers and so on. It just has to be adequate to have somebody round. And I actually found a poem about this in somebody's house I was staying in England, in a book I just picked up, and it said, Lord, it's in the form of a prayer, Lord, I'm so glad we don't have to be creative geniuses or serve elegant gourmet meals to make our guests feel warm and wanted. We need rather to expose them to love and introduce them to laughter. We need to listen and never drown them out. Above all, we need to remember that there is no substitute, none whatever, for concentrated sharing and genuine caring. And so we don't do this to be repaid or to get something in return. Although, I have to say, the rewards, as far as I'm concerned, are great in fellowship and friendship. Oh, I did put that on there, okay. And there is the other point that I'm not anywhere near good at, and that is where Jesus said to a very rich host of his, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, a banquet kind of thing, don't invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Now, the principle is the same. I've never felt like I could just go out in the street and, you know, find somebody, invite them. But the idea certainly is that you don't invite the people who are likely to pay you back in some way or invite you. And I found this in the looking for verses. I stumbled across this yesterday as I was looking for something else on the internet. The calling of hospitality has less to do with what's on the table and more to do with who's in the chairs. Less to do with what's on the table and more to do with who's in the chairs. I think it's Alison and David I've heard say, if you have soup and sandwiches, soup and rolls, you do not need to have a full roast dinner. It's better to have the people around your table welcomed with something to eat than to go to a huge amount of fuss. And it is such a blessing to the people who experience it. Now, I've been very fortunate this year. I've been on the receiving end many times and I'm very grateful, but an example is this year when I was overseas, as I said, at least three of these people were in home group, in those that 10-year or more ago home group. So this is some of the people who gave me hospitality. Lovely people. The people in the middle on the bottom were people we sent parcels to for many years in Pakistan. I didn't know them until I went to England one time and got to stayed with them now several times. Some of you will know Jamie Miller in the bottom right-hand corner, who was here. Steph Beach is in the middle of that one with the kids. Paul Quinn at the top with his wife, second from the right in Hong Kong. So, yeah, wonderful, wonderful hospitality. And such a blessing to be in people's homes, the conversations and the insights you get into their lives as well. And so, the fourth point, God's hospitality to us. Because in the end, when you think about it, we have been welcomed by God. We were aliens and strangers in his eyes. We have been brought near and provided for. In Psalm 36, it says, "They feast on the abundance of your house and drink from the river of your delights." I love that verse. They drink from the river of your delights. Psalm 23 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." And in communion, we are reminded about that welcome that we have received through the Lord Jesus. The song we're going to sing a bit later before communion has the words, "We share in the bonds of peace and of love and of grace around the table of the King." And when we welcome anyone to a meal or a bed, we are reflecting the love and welcome of our Heavenly Father and the grace and kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, practice hospitality. Make it a habit in some way in your life. And I'd like to finish with a prayer that was in that same book as that poem was. "Lord, as your friends welcomed you into their homes in your days on earth, may we welcome you into our homes by entertaining friends and strangers. May we give them the welcome that we would give to you, our Master, and prepare the meals and make the beds as if we were doing it for you." Amen.